WMIS-FM, The River, 92.1, Black Duck Bemidji.
I still can't even hardly believe my ears when you even tell me this.
Translator K237FJ, 95.3, Thief River Falls, and W300BP, 107.9, Grand Rapids.
Now this I love.
Northern Minnesota's rock station. The following is a special presentation of the Beaver Radio Network. It's time for the huddle at the Tavern of South Shore. Each Wednesday, get into the huddle with Beaver coaches and student athletes. The huddle is Beaver football.
And shotgun snap looks to pass into the corner of the end zone. Wide open, underthrown, but caught. Touchdown, Bemidji State. Touchdown to Brendan Bolio. Bolio, his second touchdown of the season. Just a fade right down the far sideline.
The Tavern on the South Shore, where Lakeside meets your hungrier side. The huddle is the Beaver Radio Network.
Good evening and welcome to the Coach's Huddle, the Tavern on South Shore. Schulze and Biss with you right now. Kel will be here momentarily. I don't know if you know this or not, Biss. It's wedding dress season.
You're already married, aren't you?
She does alterations for them and has, like five weddings to do in the next couple of months.
Well, it falls upon a popular season, right?
It is. I didn't know that this was a thing. The bride-to-be is getting her hair done today, so she had to have the wedding dress try on today to see it with the hair. I didn't know that was a thing.
He got a couple days to go yet, so she got to have their hair done again?
I'm not going there, Biss.
Probably.
So Kel will be here momentarily. Brent Bolte, head coach of the Beaver football team, is with us tonight. Fresh off of a win at Sioux Falls last Thursday night. Congratulations, Coach.
Technical difficulty, sorry. Thanks. It was fun to get back out on the gridiron.
You know, I don't often go to the Urban Dictionary, but I did today to see what they had to say about good enough. And this might be the only thing in the Urban Dictionary that I've ever agreed with. It said, when capable of perfection, but you don't attain that, but it's still good enough. I'm like, man, this kind of fits.
I think my wife would probably agree with that, with me being the husband around, you know, good enough during the fall.
In all seriousness, there was some good, there was some bad, there was a little bit of ugly, but a week one win on the road, you can't really complain, can you?
No, and Sioux Falls has been in the national playoffs, I believe, the last 4 years, or three out of the last four, so... Yeah, it wasn't like we were going down and playing some slouch. So it was fun to go down there. It was a rowdy crowd. Not the best elements either. We had some rain and
some
wind.
Is it ever in Sioux Falls?
You know, the last couple of times we've been down there, we've been dodging lightning bolts, it seems. But found a way to just keep battling. And that's kind of been a testament to our kids throughout this whole COVID process and just keep grinding away.
Well, what were you happiest about with the performance?
Well, I think... The W at the end, I think, it was what I was most happy with. But I think getting Brandon Ault back on the field was a huge sigh of relief for the team, probably for him, the coaches. So I was really happy for Brandon to be able to get back out there. And he performed pretty well. I thought the defensive back seven played really well. Amito Adeli played really well. So I think those were the things that probably popped out right away.
Brandon Ault made some throws where he literally just stuck it in a really, really tight window. With the elements, game one, he's played in three games in his career because of injury. Were you cringing a little bit at some of those?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Every time he was back there, probably the first quarter, I was cringing just every time he would get hit. But he's a competitive kid. I've watched him so long make those throws in practice. It's just nice to see somebody else besides the coaching staff and the players on the team see him do it in live action, because he's had some bad luck, but he's a special player. He could be one of the best that's ever played here.
Well, you've had obviously a season that was not last year, so you got two really incoming groups of freshmen, so to speak, plus obviously some seniors that stuck it out and came back. for another year. What kind of dynamic is the team then from an experience standpoint?
It is odd having six groups of guys. It's like you got the elder statesmen, you know, the guys that are the 6 year super seniors. So we had 12 of those guys come back. I think we would have had 17, so five guys stepped away, graduated early, not like they quit. You know, it was their choice, and I don't blame them for moving on with their life. Who would have thought we'd have a pandemic going on? So those guys were able to come back, but it is really odd. We do have, really, when you think about it, you know, 50-ish freshmen still on the roster because you had, we didn't have a lot of attrition. So we had, I think, 30 of those redshirt freshmen last year, and we've only brought in 15, I guess, this year, plus a handful of transfers. So it is an odd dynamic, but they all have been going through the same thing. So they bond, you know, that in that capacity. And there wasn't a lot of students around last fall. So the fall and the spring, they were hanging out with the boys. So it was unique, but they really bonded, you know, together really well.
It's kind of weird. Gabe Ames has been here just slightly longer than what Brandon Ault has. Gabe Ames is a senior. Brandon Ault is a sophomore.
Yeah, it is odd when you think about it. And I was talking to the Midco guy, David Brown, and he's just like, he's got to be the oldest sophomore in the league. But I know Winona's got a guy, I think he's in his seventh year down there too. So would be really end up being the same time frame as Brandon if he chooses to stay all and play all his years. So worry about that later. We'll figure out how many years he's going to have. But as long as he keeps upright and keeps slinging the ball, I think it'd be good for the Beavs.
Well, you've never had more prep time for that first game of the year. So, I mean, how did it go right out of the gates for you guys?
Well, the gates didn't really open up real well for us. We went 3-and-out. We had a miscue on the actual return, which wasn't the best. So we got behind the chains, and we went 3-and-out. And then we had a 4-yard punt. So when you talk about bad starts, it started bad. But the defense responded. They started, I think, inside our 20 or right around the 20-yard line. And on the second play, Sioux Falls, Hamido Adeli came up and whacked their running back, and he put it on the ground, and we got the ball back. So that was kind of a common theme, too. We played hard and physical. We were just able to create a few more turnovers than they did. I think that was probably the biggest stat of the game is we forced 3 turnovers and they had none.
I asked you in a pregame interview with Chalair on Saturday, and I forget the exact order that it was in, but like the first 8 drives that they had went fumble, punt, 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 turnover on downs, fumble, punt, punt, fumble. That's not a bad way to start defensively.
Right, and the sad thing is we could have played better defensively. I mean, you mentioned it, that offensive staffs had a long time prepared, and I thought Sioux Falls did about every human or every trade shift motion that you humanly could do in a half of, or really throughout the whole game. I mean, every little nuance that you could bring to the table, they brought. So it was hard. It was hard for our young guys to kind of understand what, and not necessarily that we weren't prepared for it, but I say our offense prepares us for everything. Not quite, because Sioux Falls is a little bit more with in terms of their tempos and everything they do. So it took a little while, got the rush took off, and then you started playing really well.
Well, you got up early, right, and held on, so to speak. That seems to be, if I remember correctly, that's happened before in your coaching career where you've gotten some leads and are able to squeak it out by holding on.
Yeah, we've had a couple barn burners throughout my career here, so it's
par for the course.
Not exactly the way we wanted to do it, but, you know, winning ugly, still winning, and we'll take a W. It sure beats that L. So I was proud of the kids. I mean, they could have – all the momentum was on the other side, and they got the ball back with an opportunity to go down and tie it up, but we just found a way to make a couple more plays.
Before moving to Bemidji, Kel and I worked in Brainerd. Legendary coach Ron Stolsky. He told me something once that has always stuck. He goes, Brian, I'm never going to coach another man's team. But I'm not going to lie to you, I was really confused. Their last offensive drive, they're running the football and not taking their third timeout. Does anything catch you by surprise anymore? You've been at this for over 20 years.
That surprised me. Yeah, and the crazy thing of what unfolded in overtime, or excuse me, that last drive, we had a 2-minute drill early in camp where I think it was one of our running backs didn't go out of bounds, just like their receiver didn't go out of bounds to start the very first one. And then we made a weird check in this, that when we were doing our practice where we actually ran the ball. I'm like, what are we doing? So I kind of giggled when it happened to somebody else. I'm like, this is like the exact script of what happened in our practice. So the kids, yeah, when they kept running the ball, I just kept, oh, like, you know, come on, baby, keep running, keep running, keep running. So it worked out good for us that way.
Well, now you shift gears to have your first home game at the Chet in a couple of years. Camp is probably fired up. Get that feeling that people are excited to have it back.
Oh, yeah. I mean, our guys are juiced up to get back out there, number one. And then you add in some of the other things that are going on this weekend with 9/11 being a big part of the communication with our guys. And just, you know, we have first responders. We have veterans. We also are going to be honoring Ken Traxler, which is nice to be, you know, down at the tavern to be able to do that with him. And Megan and Matt, his sister and brother-in-law, are going to be coming up along with other people from on campus that work with Ken. People from the tavern to be here as well. So means a lot. It means a lot to me, and it means a lot to the community because Trax did a ton. So it's nice to be able to honor him. And our stickers aren't in yet. We have, I don't even know what it is, some type of chemistry type of a, I don't even know. I'm not very good at chemistry. So some type of chemical equation on the back of the helmet with his initials. So hopefully they're in by the weekend. If not, we'll have those on the rest of the year too. So it's going to be a special one. And I think our kids are just excited to not practice on the Chet, number one, to go out and play a game.
What was that first road trip like in 2 years?
Well, it took a lot longer than it should have in terms of getting ready for it. So, I mean, you got to chart out where the kids sit in the bus, and then you got to do every other hoop for COVID. And, I mean, I spent more time researching a layout for a 55-passenger, you know, bus than anything else. And we had to bring extra drivers. We had to bring extra vans just so people, if they happen to get COVID, that we, you know, break the chain so that other kids wouldn't get sidelined for it. So it was a pain, but once we actually left Bemidji, it was awesome. I fell asleep within 2 minutes like I normally do. We stopped and saw a lot of, you know, the beautiful I-29 corridor on the way down. But it was fun to get into Sioux Falls, got to see some, you know, people down there that I normally don't get to see. Ryan Olson, our former O-line coach, before they flew out to Colorado State and got after those guys, him and Brittany swung over. And some Spencer Erickson's coaching down at South Dakota State, so they were over. So it was fun, man. I mean, just got to enjoy the moments. And you never know. You don't take things for granted anymore. You know, I don't know if we'll get 1, 2, 10, 11 games. Let's just play it by or see how it goes and have fun with the process.
Now, you guys had COVID protocols last year, right? You guys were able to practice and do some things. How much are they different this year from last year, other than obviously you're playing games and getting back into more regular activity?
You know, they're a little bit different. We're still testing our kids 3 times a week that are non-vaccinated kids or not fully vaccinated. We're trying to do our best to make sure that we set all of our protocols and procedures up where we limit contact for the guys. You know, it's been shown that it's not spreading on the field, but certainly in the classroom or when they're out and about in the community, those are the things that you got to worry about. So I don't know our exact percentage of vaccinated guys. I just know, I tell everybody every time, that you just got to be extremely smart with your choices, because it's not an if it's going to happen. It's just a when. We're going to have guys out sooner than later. And, you know, 2 years ago, I'd probably be freaking out if I had a couple starters out. It's just now we kind of just train differently. We have guys learn multiple positions just because you figure eventually you're going to have a handful of guys out where you're going to just have to be able to find a way to win a game.
Brent Bolte, our guest tonight. Beaver football team back at the Chet this Saturday. They'll take on the Wayne State Wildcats. Our Budweiser pregame show begins at 1:30, kickoff at 2 o'clock. We'll take a break. While we are away, we will give away some stuff here at the tavern. You should join us as well. Bess, you're making your maiden voyage of wings here?
I am. I got the hot wings, but the sauce on the side so I can control how much I put on.
You wimp.
I am. Yeah. Gotta pace yourself, man, at my age. Come on.
I'm not going there. It's the Coach's Huddle at the Tavern right here. It's the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
Ooh, that kickoff headed way out of bounds. Well, that just turned into a penalty for somebody's vehicle. Well, while the refs are trying to figure out that play, let's call Chandler's Detail Plus and Auto Glass to fix that windshield. Detail Plus works with all insurance companies, and with any windshield replacement, they'll give you a free mini car detail. Now that's a plus. Visit online, detailplusbemidji.com, or call 444-PLUS.
Hi, Dan the Chevy Man. Oops, I mean Dan the GM Man here. Not only do we have a full line of Chevys, we have Buick, GMC, and Cadillac. Summer is here, and now is a great time to drive that vehicle you've been looking for. Along with our awesome new car and truck lineup, we have a super pre-owned inventory. And don't forget about our excellent customer service, full body shop, and dependable parts and service departments. For all your automotive needs, remember Donlinger GM in Bemidji. Chevy, find new roads.
At Jimmy John's, we don't make sandwiches. We make the sandwich of sandwiches. That also happens to have delicious meats and fresh veggies all sandwiched between fresh baked bread. Jimmy John's, the sandwich of sandwiches. Order, pickup, or delivery on the app.
Jimmy John's new Chicken Caesar Wrap with seasoned chicken, crisp veggies, Caesar dressing, and crunchy croutons. It's the best salad you've ever had sandwiched into a wrap.
Woo!
New summer wraps for a limited time at Jimmy John's. The sandwich of, no, the wrap of sandwiches.
For both in-warranty and out-of-warranty service on Apple products and computer repair, choose Paul Bunyan Communications, Northern Minnesota Certified Apple Service Center in Bemidji, and now open in Grand Rapids. We can help with hardware or software problems, spill damage, screen replacement, virus removal, or the accessories you need. And we're open Monday through Friday from 7:30 until 5:30. For service on your Apple product or PC repair, come to Paul Bunyan Communications, Northern Minnesota Certified Apple Service Center in Bemidji and Grand Rapids.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS FM, The River.
Oh, what a cold, dark world is to walk through.
Welcome back to the Coach's Huddle at the Tavern on South Shore here on the Beaver Radio Network. Beaver football team opened up their season last week with a win at the University of Sioux Falls. We'll host Wayne State this weekend at Chet Anderson Stadium. Coach Brent Bolte is with us. Brent, Wayne State is a different looking roster just in the coaching staff. You good? We got football tickets to give away, and the boss missed the step. Thank you, sir.
We don't want anybody to get hurt at the coaches' show.
Little commotion there. New coach, how much has changed at Wayne?
They've changed a lot. You're going to see a really good offensive scheme. John comes to Wayne. He was at Wayne before as their offensive coordinator. Probably 10 years ago. Then he went to Central Missouri State, who's been known to have one of the better offenses in Division II. So he brought back another guy with him, Logan Masters, who played receiver for him, a really, really good football player as well from the Omaha area. So they've done a really good job. They have skill. When you look at, particularly on offense, they are a pain to get ready for. They're going to do every trade shift, motion, bunch formations, just trying to get their skill kids in space. Kind of reminds me a little bit of like Kansas City Chiefs offense, where odd motions, odd this and that. But they've really done a nice job over there, and he's got them believing that they can win football games.
What kind of a recruiting niche and recruiting benefit do they have there in Nebraska? It's the Cornhuskers, them, and what, Chattern? Are there any other D2 schools in Nebraska?
Yeah, Nebraska, Kearney is out there, and Chattern certainly is there. I'm sure they battle a lot with the MIAA schools. I mean, their major metropolitan area is obviously Omaha, where you're going to have Northwest Missouri State. You're going to have still the NSIC. Mankato does a really good job down there. But you're running into what I say is this MIAA country, and that's a whole different critter in terms of, you know, payroll. I'll put it that way. They fully funded most of their schools. So I think that's the hard thing for them is where are they going to recruit? They've typically taken a lot of transfers. They've got a few really good ones this year. Well, their slot receivers from South Dakota. Their quarterback is a kid that was in-house. But they got two really dynamic slot receivers. You'll like number one and number six. Their running back's a transfer from, I think, Dodge Community College. dynamic player that way too. So I think what they've done really well over the years is kind of have a blend of their skill kids from out of the region and then their big O-line, D-line, linebacker type of kids from the Midwest. So that's kind of what I think they'll do.
Are they better when Nebraska's good, or are they better when Nebraska's struggling?
I don't know. They're just a unique. I mean, Wayne America, as everybody calls it when you're there, it's a small town. It's a rural setting. You got to find the right niche of kids, just kind of like we have to do at Bemidji State. I mean, we're not going to take a bunch of kids from all over the country. We got to find kids that enjoy the outdoor recreation. They want to be here for the right reasons. We hammer the family. I mean, just you've heard me talk about recruiting before, but you got to get kids, because if you get kids to stay, you're going to win. And that's the challenge with Upper Iowa, Wayne State, even Craig at UMary, even though they got a nice, you know, setup in Bismarck. It's just a small private school. Same thing with probably Concordia, St. Paul, and the Twin Cities, where if you can retain them and keep them to stay, you're probably going to be good by the time they get to be juniors and seniors.
Would you say this season, more than any other, it's more unpredictable as to what to expect from your opponents, given it's been 2 years? And obviously in Wayne's case, they've had a coaching change. Obviously some players have come and gone from each of the teams. Is there more unpredictability? You pretty much have, what, one game to refer to so far?
Basically, I could take your wings you got here and chuck it up against the wall, and that's how much I think I know what's going to happen going into the game. I had no idea. I have no idea. I told all the different media that I talked to, I don't know how good we are. I don't know how good Sioux Falls is. I have no idea, really, to be honest with you, if Wayne State's worth a dang either. But I'm just pretty grateful to be out there and playing. And we're going to play hard. We're going to play physical. I do think we have a chance to be really, really good. Just got to catch some breaks and stay healthy. And, you know, the dreaded vid, I guess stay away from that too. But just do our part to keep moving forward. But I would say this. You'll enjoy watching Wayne State's offense. They do a really nice job. They're fun, and we just got to get their quarterback on the ground. He can move around a little bit, too.
So it's not just grind it out between the tackles?
Not at all. This is a nightmare for the defensive coaches going into the week, but we'll see what we can do. I think we maybe will show up and we can play a little bit, too.
Well, the one thing that jumped off of the stat sheet from their game last week with UMary, they gave up 4 yards rushing. Four.
For the game?
Now, granted, Coach Bagnell does not want to run the football, but they ran for 4 yards. Threw it for over 300, almost 400.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty one-dimensional.
Do you know, can you run on them?
We didn't run it well last week, so I'll say maybe. Give you a real middle-of-the-road answer. Yes, we're going to run the football. We needed to do that better last weekend. We had stuff last weekend, too, where we just didn't. Either the backs were impatient or we just missed a kick out. We had a couple things that worked over the center on us where we had some big plays. One of the RPOs that we threw, I think we would have scored on. So it's that dreaded deal. It's like every once in a while in practice, too, you see it where Brandon whips the ball out to the flat. We get 7 yards. I'm like, dude, hand it off. We'd have had a touchdown, but that's the beauty, I guess, of the RPO, or the drawback too. But we'll find a way. I think Sioux Falls was really good up front, and we were playing some young guys up front last weekend. If you're paying attention, I guess we were rotating Kovis, who's a redshirt freshman. We had Wanaki that was rotating as a third year freshman, but had never played. So we had at times two new guys out there. So they got some work to do, but on the flip side, they got some good experience last week too.
Well, your starter group last week was listed as senior, freshman, senior, sophomore, sophomore. All five backups are listed as freshmen. That's a young, I don't remember an offensive line that young here.
Me either. Maybe that's why Coach Olson's down in South Dakota State. he knew to get out when the getting was good. Now, to be honest with you, we knew this was going to happen. We had a couple guys actually not come back on the O-line, too. Really good players. Brandon Frankfurth is graduating early and going to grad school. Hank Bellify graduated early. He's coaching out the high school and working in town. Both those guys are good dudes, and it was time for them to move on. So, yeah, we would have a different look if those two guys were back. But you know what? The kids that are here, recruited here for a reason. They're good players in their own right. And you'll like Kovas. Kovas is a mean kid. He wants to rip your face off type of kid. I love him. Wanaki's a really gifted athlete. So we just got to keep those guys moving, and a lot of those guys are third-year freshmen, you know, so they're, it's a little bit different, it's a little bit deceiving on a piece of paper, but they'll be fine. Coach Nissen, our new O-line coach, Nick, has done a really nice job of getting those guys going, and they know it. We got to run the ball. I don't know the last time that we haven't rushed for 100 yards in a game. It's been a long time, so I think they're a little, I'd say they got some motivation going into the week.
Anybody really surprise you that played last week, got in the game, and wow?
I would say on offense, not really, because it was kind of the same cast of characters. I do think Jake Hill will end up being a guy that'll jump off the page. He did a nice job in our return game. I was really nervous because we really didn't know who our punt returner was going into the offseason. So Jake Hill is going to be a kid to keep your eye on. But defensively, I mean, he's not young, but Hamido Adeli played really, really well. I really thought Malik Knox played well as a true freshman, a redshirt freshman, too, at corner. He did give up one big play, but other than that, was one of our better corners. So we weren't counting on a lot of you know, new faces out there. It's just probably faces and names that you guys haven't heard about because it's been a couple years since we've been out there.
Yeah. Trust me, I looked at this thing before week one, and I'm like, okay, I know him. Yeah, I know him. Who the heck is that?
Right. Yeah, there's sometimes, too, when I look at it, especially from 19, at like the participations from games, I'm like, man, we did lose some good players over the years. So, But it's kind of man down, man up, who gets the opportunity to get out there. So, that's the fun thing, and it's the beauty of football. It's not basketball. If LeBron James goes down, your team's done for. You got 110 guys that are working to get their opportunity. So it's unique in that way, guys. It's just, hey, you got your chance, and we expect you to go on and be productive.
Brent Bolte, our guest tonight. We're going to take a break, going to give away some tickets to the Beaver football game this Saturday, first game at the Chet in, well, since like, first week of November of 2019. Let's just say it's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while. We're giving away some tickets. You should be here. It's the Coach's Huddle at the Tavern on South Shore right here on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
If I could be you.
And you could be me for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
The Green Mill in Bemidji is hiring. Multiple kitchen positions with line cooks starting at $15 minimum with no experience needed. Also hiring servers and banquet positions with full-time, part-time, and seasonal positions available to fit your schedule. Benefits include paid vacation, IRA match, meal discounts, and more. The Green Mill is an equal opportunity employer offering a great work atmosphere with friendly staff and management. Start your new career today and apply online at greenmill.com/careers or stop by the Green Mill in Bemidji for an application.
Ah, the taco. Is there anything more delightfully simple and delicious? At Taco John's, we think not. There's a reason more people choose our crispy beef tacos. That's because we cook each crispy shell fresh in-house every day, then fill it with our signature 100% American beef, mild sauce, lettuce, and cheese. 5 classic ingredients. Taco John's loves tacos so much, we not only put it in our name, we gave it a special day. Taco Tuesday. Get seasoned crispy beef tacos for just 99 cents each every Taco Tuesday at Taco John's. Bigger, bolder, better.
Drive through and pick up only at Taco John's. The key to success is a solid game plan and commitment to the fundamentals. Otter Tail Power Company recognizes Bemidji State University men's and women's athletics for teamwork and dedication throughout the season and wishes you the best as you take it to the next level. Otter Tail Power Company encourages you to keep the energy going, Beavers. Best wishes for a memorable season of Bemidji State University sports. Go Beavers!
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
the Coach's Huddle here at the Tavern on South Shore. We're here every Wednesday night, starting at 6.
It starts with
our Beat the Radio Network Coach's Show. Beaver football this weekend, taking on the Wildcats from Wayne State. Coach Bolte, I am not big on social media. I don't know how this started. I don't know what the hell happened. But evidently, Bemidji State was named by some Division I coach. What is the story here? What happened?
I really, obviously, I've been getting a lot of people and former players and coaches and other staffs are probably more riled up than I am. So what happened was Montana, with Coach Houck, who I'd never met in my life, went out and beat, I believe, Washington State or Washington, one or the other. And after the game, he jumped on social media and he's like,
well,
I don't...
it was in his post-game press conference.
Correct.
He said it.
Yeah.
Said, it's not like we beat Bemidji State. And I'm like, where'd this dart come from? Do you know? Does he have any ties to BSU? Any of his current staff been here, played against him?
I don't think there's a single tie from any of us. Maybe Begnell back in the day. So I don't know if Beg slipped him some money to get us a pop shot. But hey, any new coverage and anytime you get on national television, even if it's the pop shot, a lot of the media guys, like even guys from ESPN and Barstool Sports, are like, Coach, I'm like, I don't need to comment. I have better things to worry about than, and how it popped in his mind at that particular point. No idea. That's what I'd like to know, because I'm like, there is no tie. Like, they've never played us. They've never been here. Just Bemidji's on everybody's mind, I guess. Maybe saw us knock off Sioux Falls. I don't know.
Kel asked me about it, and like I said, I'm not on social media. I'm like, what did I miss? And I finally clicked on it, and I'm like, this makes zero sense to me.
Yeah, I did kind of giggle, like, North Dakota State, South Dakota State. They came out, like, just throwing haymakers back at him. I'm just like, geez, guys. Like, Coach Pike is like, he's our social media guy. If there's going to be a guy that starts the social media war, it's going to be Coach Pike. So he's kind of like Lane Kiffin. He'll throw out some daggers out there, and he got himself in trouble with the officials once upon a time. He had, the three blind mice running around. NSIC didn't like that very much. I thought it was hilarious right up until the point I was like, uh-oh, we're going to get in trouble. Of course, Tracy's over there. He'll probably come back over and yell at us again for doing it, but it was funny. But whatever. I don't know. I was like, I couldn't believe it either, guys. I didn't know where it came from.
So just out of the blue,
yeah,
because they won,
yeah,
it was like a derogatory dig.
And he even said it. Goes something along the lines of, man, this is going to sound really bad, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's not like we beat Bemidji State. I'm like,
crazy.
Hello, you're a Division I team.
Well, somehow, Bemidji was in his mind somehow, some way, so.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know either, but I'm sure when they lose their first game, if we're still winning, there's going to be a lot of haymakers back and forth then, but whatever. I don't even hardly run my own Twitter account, guys. So if you're asking the social media guys, ask the younger coaches. I just kind of, I'm worried about to Saturday.
I try to avoid it as much as humanly possible and live in my own, reality. But, I mean, it's all over the place. So you got a lot of young kids, obviously, who've grown up with this stuff. I mean, are they pretty good with it these days? Or I remember back in the day that, people weren't so smart about their social media accounts.
Well, trust me, these kids aren't smart at all. They're going to, I mean, in terms of referencing back with the coach, let me preface. I probably came out of my mouth wrong. I mean, they still put up stupid stuff. I mean, social media.
Because they're kids.
Yeah, they knee-jerk reaction, throw it out there. So there was some bantering back and forth, surely, between Montana and Bemidji, or, going back and forth. But, social media is weird. Like, it's great for recruiting for us. Like, that's probably where I spend most of my time, just DMing kids and communicating with guys. because heaven forbid they pick up a phone, you know, if you call them. I mean, it's just doesn't work that way anymore. So social skills are out the window. I don't know how Doug Life stays in the world of teaching over there in the business department and keeps it rolling, because, you know, if they don't have their phones, they feel like, you know, they're lost. So
I think that was me. I got too close over here to the
So table. I mean, it's got to be a little bit of management, so to speak, to make sure that they're, you know, focused on football when they need to be focused on football, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know what? During our meetings, what we do now is we actually let the kids bring their phones with them, and we just have them put them all on the table and have them flip it over. And when they have a break, they can go back on social media, because honestly, it's crazy, but otherwise they just sneak it in anyway. So
they can't disconnect any longer.
They can't. And sometimes it's really nice to have them have it, because we send out, you know, messages through Huddle and communicate with them if we have changes. But we just simply, the way I do it with the linebackers, I'm like, hey, leave them out, put them on the table, and we go to work. We have a break, they can jump back on them. So it's just the way of the world. I'm not saying I love it, but that's the way it works.
Yeah. So I will be the first to admit I was stunned to see Northern State on the road in Mankato last Thursday with a fairly comfortable second half lead. And then I wasn't surprised at all to see Minnesota State won it in overtime. Is Northern that improved? Minnesota State have a bad night? Combination of both?
I would say it's a combination of both. It's a perfect storm, really, if you think Northern and really Wayne, you got two full recruiting cycles. You had an extra, you know, a lot of time to work with your players. And Northern State has a really good core of skilled kids. You're going to be impressed when you see them. They're offensively, they're gifted. They got a transfer from North Dakota State on the roster. They had the preseason, I think, one of the better receivers already coming back in Larson out wide at the Strife kid. I mean, they really do. And Vance, I can't remember, Barnes, I think he was a transfer from Mankato, is playing over there. So, I mean, you'll see a lot of talent, and they have resources at Northern. So I think Northern's going to be on the rise. I think he's done a nice job. But I think it's the same thing for any of the new coaches to get an extra year. I mean, it's a tough turnaround if you walk in and go, hey, we got spring, and then we're jumping into it. And then Mankato, too. They got new quarterback. They got new players. They had guys leave the program. So I'd say you're spot on. It's probably a combination between the two. But I don't think the juggernaut of Mankato or Minnesota State is down. I think they just got in a dogfight. They turned the ball over, kind of similar to our game. You know, if Mankato doesn't turn it over, they probably win by 17 or 20 points.
Well, this game on Saturday starts at 2 o'clock. Kind of gone back and forth what time these games start. So got some night games in. Obviously, first game, Sioux Falls, was a night game. How do you feel about 2 o'clock versus like 1 o'clock? Because a lot of your games are 1 o'clock.
You know, I actually like 2 o'clock starts early in the year. I do. I don't like night games as much as, I mean, maybe it's nice for the fans, but it's a long day, especially on the road. And I honestly, the crazy thing is I dislike it more at home, because what do you do with your kids? You bring them in early, you have dinner, you lunch, you do walkthroughs. Just you spend so much time waiting for the event to start. So I actually prefer to be on the road if we're going to play a later game. Even though the travel sucks, getting back at, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, I think that's where 4:30 is when we got back from Sioux Falls. But hey, you know, 2 o'clock games, it's still nice. Obviously, as we inch closer to the November dates, maybe we want to start at 1 o'clock, but it's good. Let everybody kind of get out of bed, get ready to roll, do some tailgating, and get down to the chat.
And how is that determined then? You guys get to make the call if it's within a realm, because you got 4 o'clock at Mankato the next week.
Yeah, essentially, we do make a decision. I think we do have the opportunity to start between 1 and 4 or 1 and 6. The first game, usually they allow us to do some night games. I don't know all the rules. I let Tracy deal with a lot of that, our athletic director. I'm just happy. I do like the afternoon games. I like meeting the earlier afternoons, the 2 to 2 o'clock games. We do have an earlier one later in the year down at Concordia St. Paul, I think is at noon. So, yeah, we get a little variety in terms of when we start. So makes me change all of my paperwork and my pregame times. That's what I always hate. But otherwise, roll out the ball, let's go play.
So the state of Minnesota had the longest running high school football winning streak in the country, snap last weekend. Down in Caledonia, they had won 71 straight games, which is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs to begin with. My brother lives in Caledonia. His middle son, you offered him. I'm sorry to say he went to North Dakota. Sorry. Did not sit well with this part of the family. But I asked my brother, I'm like, what the heck happened? How does Caledonia lose to Lake City? Lake City is not a football town. And he goes, well, eight guys aren't playing. And I said, hurt? COVID? What? He goes, no, they're playing basketball. Because one of their stud basketball players also got some D1 football offers. He took a D1 basketball offer. So I get it. He's not going to play football. I said, what about the other seven? As a football coach, what do you want high school athletes to do?
Number one, you're in high school for a very, very short time. Take advantage of it and play as many different sports as you can and do as many extracurriculars as you can. I think as an athlete, in terms of development, getting exposed to all sorts of different drills and skills is only going to make you a better, well-rounded athlete in the long run. So I am not a fan of specialized training. I'm not a fan of kids picking a sport early. And I get it. Like some kids, maybe it's a parent, maybe it's this or that. But in the long run, to have the experience and also the crossover between sports, I'm not talking about just skill. I'm talking about winning and losing in different sports. You might be a star basketball player or football player or baseball, hockey, whatever, but the experience of being a leader and experience of, you know, being on multiple sports, good, bad, or indifferent, makes you a better overall athlete because you're exposed to more experiences. So my psychology degree coming into play right there, Schultze. You like that?
Works.
That's sports psychology. I teach it Tuesday, Thursday for anybody that wants to come, 8 o'clock in the John Glass Fieldhouse, Beaver Pride.
Nice. Now, you've got a son who's a senior, right, playing for the Lumberjacks?
I do. Caden's a senior. Don't know where the time went, but, yeah, got a senior and daughter, Beth, is a junior. So it's a busy fall. It's fun. Last year with COVID, I say that's the one silver lining with COVID was got to see them play a ton, which is good and bad, I guess, from probably my kids' perspective. But it was fun. As one of my more memorable days was going down. Kim, my wife, and I went down to watch Beth play volleyball. I think we're in Wilmer. Cruised over Bemidji High School, ended up playing Edina, and went over there and watched the Lumberjacks whip up on them. So it was fun. Last night I got done with practice, ran out to the gym and watched them play Park Rapids. Going to watch Beth again this weekend. So Stoff, the head football coach, me and him are going to have some words. They do senior night on the night. He could have picked any night of the week besides Thursday to play. Come on, Bri. But they ended up playing on senior night, so I got to watch most of the game. I jumped on the bus, watched the Beavers, graded our film, and for the last 2 hours of the trip, I was terrified of our bus driver falling asleep, so I was watching the Lumberjacks on my phone and trying to keep him awake.
Did your kid quit playing baseball, just not want to play baseball this summer?
Caden?
Yeah.
He didn't play. Don't know.
Because I did not see you at the field nearly as much as I did a year ago.
Yeah. No, it was actually a great summer. Not necessarily not seeing you. And I like baseball, too. No, he just didn't play. He did, the high school. He played for the Lumberjacks and did that. But I think, again, a little bit with him just playing Legion ball and all that, I think he just wanted to have a little freedom. And, he had a big summer job. He worked out at Rutgers. It's hard working out the boathouse and filling up gas when you got to get the baseball practice.
That works.
So you prepare and you get ready. Is it becoming routine again? After a week of back in action?
It feels like I have training wheels on right now because it's like, man, I have to ask the staff like every other day, like, what do we do on home games and what's our routine on being on the road? I had to call Coach Yonner, our retired DB guy, Rich, and ask. I was like, what in the heck did we do for this? And, he was our notes guy. He was kind of the mom of the coaching staff, so he always took good notes, but miss that guy. He did a lot for the program too. So hope Rich and Sherry are both doing well. But yeah, it's been weird. It feels like I'm just out of sync a little bit with just the routine, but we're getting there.
You've done it before, but it seems like it's been a long time.
It certainly feels that way. It does. But the cool thing is that we have a good staff. Even though we got some new coaches, that most of those guys were here during the spring, so can lean on those guys a little bit. But some of the stuff that I'd like to forget, like doing bus bids and doing some of the paperwork stuff, I need a secretary if anybody wants to come and donate their time.
Don't you have a football ops person this year?
We do. Yeah, we got Kristen Ferris. I never had one before, so I don't know how to delegate very well. But she's awesome. She's going to be a star in the sport world. She gets it. But yeah, she's been taking over a lot of some of the daily operation stuff, which actually allows me to coach football a little bit more instead of, you know, chasing down things. And she's helping out with Coach Pike with her academic procedures too. So she's an awesome addition. But yeah, getting back in the routine, it's I giggled about it because I had so much time last year. I was going crazy. with all the time we had. All we did was recruit, literally recruited for a year and a half. And there's only so many high school kids you can watch and say yes or no on. And we just found work to do work. I swear to I love our assistant coaches, but they're like, oh, let's meet at 6 a.m. to do this. I'm like, we just did this the last 35 days. I don't think we need to do it again. But everybody was just chomping to make our kids better. And we figured out a way to kind of pass the time, but we did a lot of recruiting and kind of team building stuff with the guys. I felt like a camp director during COVID. That's what we did. Went to the park and played kickball. We went and played, you know, volleyball. I mean, anything to pass the time and have some type of competition. Like, we could have played rock, paper, scissors and probably still had a fist fight between guys. I mean, they're just chopping at the bit. But it was fun. And that was probably the other blessing of COVID is you got to take a deep breath and get to know the kids and their families a little bit more too. So even though some of the meetings were virtual, I spent a lot of time with families and kids. It was a hard trek, man. Like, the mental side of stuff, just the change in really with their identities of, you know, being able to play a game, but having that taken away, just like everybody just lost opportunities. But it was different, but yet there's always a silver lining out there for something.
How many of the coaches that you've lost from your staff in the last couple of years went on to D1 jobs?
We've had a pretty good run. So it probably started with Robbie. Robbie Ulrich is down as a special teams coordinator at the University of South Dakota. Coaches the inside linebackers there. Then obviously Craig was here. Now he's a, you know, head coach at the University of Mary. And then on that staff as well, we had Shane Smith that went to UTEP as a defensive line coach down there. We had also Matt Phipps. Matt Phipps went to UC Davis, is now at Fresno State, working out there with their special team. So got him out of here, and he's done a great job. And him and Jackie are out there on the West Coast. We also have Spencer Erickson and Ryan Olson down at South Dakota. Or South Dakota State, excuse me. I better watch what I say. They get after me. But we've had a lot of guys over the years. Gordy Houck's out at Wyoming. Sam King's over at University of North Dakota. So proud of those guys. I always joke when they're here, I'm like, don't forget where you came from, because I'm probably going to be asking you guys for a job sooner than later. So, but I'm happy and proud of those guys. Honestly, it's fun. I'm the old guy now. I was always the young guy when I first got here with Coach Tesh and Yanner and the Vleco, and I was young getting into coaching. I think I was 22 years old. And now I am on the other side, you know, so I'm like, oh, I can relate to those guys a little bit more now.
I still remember my first year here. Team came in for fall camp, and Coach Tesh wanted me to introduce myself to the team. And this was before video streaming, and we had upgraded the ability to have more people listening in online. And he wanted me to talk to the team about it, and he made you lead me over from the athletic building over to Wally's, and God, I felt sorry for you. You had to be thinking, why do I get to escort the new guy over to Wally's for dinner? Never forget it.
I honestly forgot it. I don't remember that. I've been tasked with so many things over the years.
So many menial things like that.
Yeah. I remember, getting off topic, but I just remember my first year here, all the GAs or adjuncts have very specific duties. And we played at Minot State in the Beaver Bash. And Coach Yonner was wound up tight because that's his alma mater. Coach Tesh was even worse. Like, he was wound up tighter than a drum. And we forgot the sideline jackets, the raincoats at home. There was no chance of rain. Nothing. No, that wasn't going to rain. Oh, did it rain? And, of course, I was brand new. Like, it was me and Kurt Dinahy and a couple other GAs. Like, three of the four of us were brand new. So I'm like, I don't know. I mean, whatever. We forgot. Oh, my gosh. I'll never forget that in my whole life about the rain jackets. And then I also found out quick I was the water guy. I had to make sure that it was properly iced down for post-game drinking out on the road. So those are the glorious tasks of a GA here at Bemidji State back in the day.
But, so if you want to be a head coach, those are some of the dues you're going to have to pay.
Yeah, the old ditch digger approach, right? And one of my fondest memories, Robert Thurness, the great Robert Thurness. He is my, it's a long story, but he is my linebacker coach in college at Cornell. And he actually taught and coached at my high school, Tripola. So he knew my uncle. He every time he talked about my uncle, he's like, he had this real rusty, raggedy voice. And he'd say, Bolts. He always called me Bolts, whatever. I honestly don't think he really knew my name until that's how I played. But he's like, Bolts, you remember the Tunney Chicken Farm? I'm like, yeah, it's my aunt and uncle's place. I'm like, yeah, I know where it's at. Bolts, he was a tough hombre. You know, he's giving me all these things. But anyway, he was a guy, again, you talk about tasks and things that coaches have to do. This guy was my teacher. He taught on campus as well. So my first semester when I was there, I think I had three classes with this guy. He was my linebacker coach. And I think I cleaned weight rooms. I did. There was nothing being taught in Phi Ed, whatever class I was in, besides what you did not want to do when you got later. But he always used this analogy because he had his master, or his doctorate. He's like, Bolts. He's like, I got my PhD. And he'd always give this kind of grumble. He's like, you know what that stands for? I'm like, no idea. I'm guessing it's your doctorate, right? He's like, no, post-hole digger. That's all I do is post-hole dig. It's just a piece of paper. I'm like, all right. He's like, but anyway, that was his deal. He's always screaming at us about your education and stuff. But anyway, it's just some of the fun stuff that you remember. But anyway, he was a great one. Unfortunately, he passed away, I think, last year, Coach Thurness did. But he was over at Cole College, which was our big rival back in the day. And Aaron Vlucko actually played for him. So there's a little bit of rub with that, too. So anyway, getting off topic, man.
We like side turns. They're good. Beavs take on Wayne State Saturday, 2 o'clock. Our Budweiser pregame show begins at 1:30. Brent, thank you much. Best of luck.
Appreciate it, guys.
See you Saturday.
I can't wait. It'd be fun at the chat. Love to see everybody down there.
Good to be back.
Brent Bolte, head coach of the Beaver football team. We take one more break. We give away the rest of our tickets to give away here tonight. It's the Coach's Huddle at the Tavern on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
Experience light when and where you want it with Hunter Douglas window treatments from Sterling Carpet One. Our PowerView system lets you move your shades according to schedules you set, day or night, whether you're home or away. Available in colors and fabrics to suit your style. Hunter Douglas. Live effortlessly.
You dream, we design. Sterling Carpet One.
What's up, y'all? This is Chase Rice hanging outdoors with an ice-cold Mountain Dew. You know, it's easy to tell who really loves the outdoors. One thing, there's a rack on your car and a hitch on the back of your truck. There's a garage full of toys from wakeboards to dirt bikes. And there's a cooler full of Mountain Dew always at the ready. Because when it's time to get out and do, you know, hit the lake or the deer stand, a cooler of Mountain Dew, that's as important a piece of outdoor gear as your four-wheeler or your fishing rod. Mountain Dew. Do the Dew.
Farming requires well-built equipment. Kubota equipment that's proven for over a century. Tractors that are adaptable and versatile. Hay tools backed by a 2-year warranty. Sidekick and RTV utility vehicles where durability and functionality meet speed. Productive wheeled and track skid steers for the most demanding projects. To see the full line of quality Kubota equipment, visit Acme Tools, Highways 2 and 71 North Bemidji, and ask for a free demo.
There will be stages in life that cause you to pause, reflect, and maybe move in a new direction. With Thrivent Financial, you don't have to face those times alone. Our financial professionals apply their faith, passion, and expertise to guide Christians to be wise with money, offering life insurance, retirement, college planning options, and more. The Alan Zutz Financial Group can help you craft a plan around your goals and values. Call Alan, Sandra, Connor, or Rice at 444-0202.
Welcome back to the Coach's Huddle here at the Tavern on South Shore. Good to visit with Coach Brent Volte tonight. Beavers take on Wayne State Saturday at the Chet at 2. Our Budweiser pregame show begins at 1:30. Need to get on my soapbox a little bit here, Biss. Sioux Falls, purple jerseys, purple numbers. One thin little white stripe around the edge.
Otherwise, it's a sea of purple, huh?
And it's raining.
Are they the Vikings?
The Cougars.
All right.
It's raining. The window is
fogged up.
All waterlogged. Water spots. Let's just say I didn't read off many names last Thursday.
It was a run to the right or a pass to the left?
I could not. That should be outlawed. Purple on purple. Black on black. Green on green. Shouldn't be allowed.
Well, the Beavers, don't they have like 5 or 6 different combination?
They've got a few, yes.
White, green, black.
They do have black.
Tops and bottoms, they can intermingle them.
I'm actually looking forward to seeing the Ken Traxler stickers on the backs of the helmets.
Yeah, I wonder if it's like something from the periodic table, maybe?
E equals MC squared, maybe? I don't know.
Something chemistry related, no doubt. And yeah, it'll be nice to honor him, the first responders who've, you know, obviously with 9/11, but also the pandemic, the big role that they've played to help in that regard are being honored on Saturday as well.
I interviewed Malik Williams. You'll hear it on our Beaver Fever Friday. You'll hear it in the pregame show on Saturday. When I asked him, I'm like, you guys weren't even in kindergarten when 9/11 happened. They don't remember
some weren't
a
even
lot.
Born, right?
I'm sure there were some.
Yeah,
that
freshmen,
been,
right?
You know, how much they've learned about that in school. And learning about 9/11 in school is nothing like us
experience
living,
again,
us living
yeah.
through it and turning on the TV that morning and going, what in the world is going on here?
Right.
But I'll equate it to this. After September 11th, the first sporting event back was a Yankee baseball game.
Right.
And Rudy Giuliani threw out the first pitch, and this country was as patriotic as it's ever been.
Correct.
Sports played a big part of getting people back. Sports has been a big part of getting people back from COVID, too.
Absolutely. I mean, don't you? I remember being excited to be able to watch any live sporting event, golf, even race car driving, as long as there was something live actually happening again, because, of course, there was a long time where we were without any live sporting events. It was cornhole tournaments, but they figured out people could wear masks and do cornhole, and that'd be fine. Even without the fans, at least there was live sport. And you're right, that's one of the things that can help bring stuff back now is you try to get back to kind of the new normal. It's great to see that we'll have fans in the stands starting Saturday, you know, outside at the Chet. But, of course, that's the plan for inside at the different venues, whether it be like a volleyball or a hockey, men's or women's hockey.
basketball. So the fingers crossed we'll be able to see those fans in the stands, and they'll be able to see these games live, because we don't want to repeat what you and I went through last year, that being one of eight people to be able to watch Division I hockey game at the Sanford Center. That just isn't right.
The Beaver Radio Network will have three games for you this week. We've got soccer on Friday and Sunday against Michigan Tech and Northern Michigan. I forget which order it's in, which one's Friday and which one's Sunday. But sandwiched between that, we'll have Beaver football for you on Saturday. The Beaver soccer team went to North Dakota and beat them last week. Division I team.
Yeah, I
beat them 2-0. Take that.
They've been good. You know, they had a couple of, you know, great seasons, you know, back-to-back. What was it, 3 years ago that they were undefeated, right? So you just never know what Coach Stone and those guys are going to be able to accomplish. But that's always a good sign when you're beating a Division I team as a Division II team.
It's become an old hat, though, with the soccer team beating North Dakota.
Hey, it never becomes old hat. That's something you always want to be able to do, if you can.
Three games for you this weekend here on the Beaver Radio Network. Info online, beaverradionetwork.com. And we are back here next Wednesday. It's the Coach's Huddle at the Tavern on South Shore. Every Wednesday starting at 6 right here. It's the Beaver Radio Network.
WMIS-FM, The River, 92.1, Black Dog Bemidji.
I still can't even hardly believe my ears when you even tell me this.
Translator K237FJ, 95.3, Thief River Falls, and W300BP, 107.9, Grand Rapids.
Now this I love.
Northern Minnesota's Rock Station.